This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I've got to run to keep rolling, and I'm bound to keep on riding.
I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Let's go. On this Friday morning, we made it. We made it to Friday. We have made it to game six on Saturday as the New York Knicks take down the Indiana Pacers in game five, 111-94, wire to wire victory. And we get ready for Saturday, game six, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for the next 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride as we take it to the warm-up show. We got Nick on the other side. For the moment, we'll get Fleegs in here, and we will break it down, as obviously this was the performance that we desperately needed from the Knicks, from the jump. They led this game wire-to-wire. They never trailed, which is unfathomable with how they played this entire postseason. The idea that they went this game wire-to-wire is hard to imagine, but they came out immediately. And Jalen Brunson, so much obviously made of game four, so much made of the Halliburton performance, so much made of him really, as although you could look through the box scores of all of these games in this series, and you'll see a lot of 30-point games from Jalen Brunson, the impact hasn't been there. It just hasn't. We can say whatever we want, it hasn't. Not when you're down 3-1 in this series, not when Halliburton did what he did in game four, and from the jump, he comes out and makes a statement. He, Karl Anthony Towns, and this defense, the defensive effort, they were smothering the Pacers from the start of this game. And I mentioned Halliburton. Halliburton, you want to talk about stats, and we go through the stats, and we'll go through, you know, the actual things that happened in this game and some of the turning points and some of the things you can point to. I don't know if you're going to find a more telling stat. I don't know if you're going to find a more telling figure or number that's going to indicate what happened in this game than Halliburton took seven shots. That's it. He took seven shots in this game. And it's not just because he chose not to. The New York Knicks had an effort defensively to make sure Halliburton didn't have his walk-up threes, walk into transition. They eliminated the transition offense much better than they have. This was just an effort from the jump from the New York Knicks to decide they weren't losing this game. And that's what we were looking for. That's what we were desperate for. This team coming out, having an effort from the jump, and it sucks, right? Because there's different angles to this, because they are still losing 3-2. They did not win the series. Tonight is not a night for necessarily celebration. They're still down 3-2. They have to go Saturday night to Indiana and take care of business in Game 6 just to come back here for the right for a Game 7. Indiana is still in the driver's seat. All that was proven tonight, all that we saw tonight, is that the Knicks are capable of an effort of shutting down the Indiana Pacers defensively. They are. They're capable of it. It's not easy. It's not easy to do it three nights in a row or three games in a row like they're going to have to do. But last night, they showed you the blueprint of how to play this team and pressure them. Make it difficult for them to bring the ball up the court. Come and attack them. Don't let him have 5-6 feet of space and allow to get going. Like, they came out and made a concerted effort from the jump of this game to be in the face of Halliburton, to be in the face of Nesmith, to be in the face of Siakam. Like, they made an effort from the jump to let the Pacers know this game was going to be different. And so many different things happened throughout this game, but to me, you can point to a couple of turning points that really dictate this game. Because obviously they come out strong in the first quarter. He's hitting all the shots. Right? Brunson comes out and immediately puts up 12 in the fourth quarter, but they don't close the first quarter again. Like, back, you know, what we saw in game four was the inability to close out the quarter. They would go on runs, but the Pacers was always own the last 2 minutes of every quarter. And again, in this quarter, they did not close out having a lead. They never relinquished the lead, but they had an opportunity to kind of run away with it early or at least get some separation early. And they allowed the Pacers back into the game at the end of the first quarter. And then I thought the way they came out in the second quarter was big. And you saw Karl Anthony Towns, his ability to get to the rim, obviously dealing with the knee. You know, you knew that was not going to be an issue. We knew he was going to play this game. He looked fine. Offensively, he was getting to the rim. The defense, what you're getting, the rebounding from Mitchell Robinson. Again, we'll get to Shamet, who is obviously, you could argue this is the Shamet game, as he's getting standing ovations coming off of the floor. He's getting his name chanted in the fourth quarter. But another key moment, obviously the bounce back in the second quarter after really letting it slip at the end of the first. But I thought the most important part of this game was when they take a 20-point lead in the fourth. They take a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they're joking about it on the broadcast that now this is where the game starts, because we have seen 20-point leads mean absolutely nothing, not just in this series, but the entire postseason. And right after they say it, right after Reggie Miller is joking and laughing about 20 points doesn't mean what it used to mean, they go on a run. And they cut it down to 10. And Jalen Brunson, yet again, who was the best player on the floor tonight, who they needed to be the best player on the floor tonight, Jalen Brunson comes out and scores 5 of 7 points and opens it back up to a 17-point lead. And that was where you finally felt comfortable, because it was slipping away at that moment. 20 points up, they let it slip to 10. Bad turnovers again, bad plays, Hart. God love him, he was better in this game. He made some key plays. He had some N1s. He got to the rim. He made some decent passes. He always gets his rebounds, but still sloppy with the basketball. How many times did it look like he wanted to fake a pass and it slips out of his hands and he's just like, oops? He literally, you could feel the oops from his body language. He made some terrible plays, but their defense and Shamet's defense and that defensive five men that they put out there with him and Wright and McBride playing huge dividends. And that is a legitimate, like, we didn't see it as much in game number five. In game number four. We saw it in game three win the game in the fourth quarter. That is a legitimate defensive unit when you throw Cat in there too, where Cat, the offense runs through him and they are better defensively with Wright and Shamet on the floor, who played great defensively and hit a couple of key shots. But him and Wright on the floor, along with Deuce, they're faster. They guard the perimeter better. And if you have Mitchell Robinson out there too, now you have a guy who can also defend the rim while you have the better, faster defensive perimeters. And then just offensively, you run it through Cat. And it's quite clear. Like, yes, Jalen Brunson was the guy who started from the beginning of this game, made a huge point. The idea that the two superstars together, he embarrassed, and the Knicks embarrassed Halliburton in this game.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But there is, you need him to play great. You need him to make shots. He has to do what he does. Karl Anthony Towns should be able to dominate the game at any moment in this entire series, and it's frustrating, as great as he is, and they were talking about it. I was in the car for a little bit listening to the broadcast on the radio as well, and they were talking about it, that, you know, when you think about this series, you look at some of the numbers, the offensive numbers that Jalen Brunson has put forth, and you go, you know what, he's played great in the series, but he hasn't had the impact. No better example of that than Karl Anthony Towns. You go through it, it's 25 points a night, it's 26 points a night. He's doing what you would think. I mean, but when you watch the game, he is capable of taking over. At any point, he can take over the game with his rebounding. We saw in this game, too, he's been rebounding. But offensively, they don't have anyone who can stop him. You want to put someone, you know, big on him, he takes them outside, takes them off the dribble. Anyone smaller on him, which is pretty much everybody on the floor, he can get to the basket. And as long as he is finishing at the rim, which he was doing tonight, he is, without question, we can talk about Halliburton, we can talk about Jalen Brunson. If there is someone who at any moment in the game who can dominate the game, it's Karl Anthony Towns. And I really think that unit in particular that won the fourth quarter of game number three and now had moments and stretches in this game where, you know, they had that run in the third quarter where Shamit, or in the second quarter rather, where Shamit and Wright are on the floor and they're plus 10. They came in, Knicks were up four, they leave to a standing ovation, they're plus 10. They have really, like, and I'll be the first to admit, like, last night I was talking about, as much as I respect Shamit, as much as we've seen the bench play a role, this is about the starters on this team. This is about Jalen Brunson. This is about Karl Anthony Towns. This is about, you know, Josh Hart having a better effort. This is about OG Anunoby. It's about Bridges. And every one of them were better than they were in game number four. But there's no doubt that that unit in particular, because they typically end up sending Halliburton and Nesmith and even Siakam at times to the bench when that unit is on, and even though they roll 10 deep, and even though the Pacers' bench has been more formidable, like at times, right now the Knicks' bench outplays them and is more impactful when they're in the game. And to watch Shamit have that defensive stand underneath the basket, and then to see the crowd erupt and him react to it and get Landry Shamit chants in the crowd. I mean, he was a major impact in this game. But they just, like, it was just, there's so much of this series and so much of who the Knicks are is based on their effort. It's based on their intensity. And they just, you could feel it. You can sense it. There was nothing that the Pacers could bring tonight that was going to top the Knicks in this game. They came out with a intensity and a fire and a defensive intensity that just wasn't going to be matched. And we haven't seen it enough, and we know we can. And now you transition off of Game 5, and we'll get to more of the ins and outs of this victory. And it's a great win, It is a great win. It's a comfortable win. It got dicey there for a second, but then, as I mentioned, that 20-point lead becomes 10. But then I really felt like that's where Jalen Brunson had his biggest impact. His biggest impact in this game is to start the game, and then a quick 7 points after 20 became 10, and it got dicey. And they were even talking on the broadcast, like, at this point in game one, it was a bigger lead than it is right now, and he hit a big three. I think Mikal Bridges had a basket in between, and then you got the four-point play on the three-pointer, and that really kind of established that the Knicks weren't going to lose this game. But as much as we could talk about these key moments in this game, and it's a great win, all it does is set up a Saturday where they need to have the same effort. They need to make life hard on this Pacers team, and specifically Haliburton, who takes 7 shots in this game. You want to beat this team? I know they have a bunch of different ways to beat you. And I know that at times you look at some of the games, Haliburton doesn't always have big numbers, but this wasn't even about big numbers. He's a minus 23 in this game, and he takes 7 shots. You want to beat Indiana on their floor? You want to go Saturday night, take a game 6 and force a game 7? That's what they need to do. More than Jalen Brunson scoring, more than Karl-Anthony Towns taking over the game, they need to continue this defensive effort. Be on him from the second he crosses half court. Not allow them to pick up speed in their game. Get back on transition. Make sure that they don't have numbers coming through, and make sure that he doesn't get that Haliburton doesn't get a head of steam going. He is dangerous when he is playing fast like that. And last night, they slowed the game down defensively in the half court for the Pacers, and they really had no answer. And this was a thorough ass kicking. It's not quite the Friday night spectacle of game 6 against the Boston Celtics. That was different, but they were without their best player. You know, Haliburton took 7 shots in this game. Tatum took none. Like, we understand that was a little bit different. This was as well played a game from start to finish and as thorough an ass-kicking as the Knicks have presented throughout this postseason. That's what it was. It was a great night. It was a great win. It provides them another opportunity to do something special, but ultimately, now it's game 6 in Indiana. And now you have shown that you are capable of not just beating the Pacers like you did in game 3, but dominating the Indiana Pacers. This was domination in every way. And you put a little bit of scare into a Pacers team that, listen, is really hard to scare. And I have no doubt that going back home, Haliburton is going to be looking to do the same thing that Jalen Brunson did at the start of this game and make his presence felt early on in game number 6. That, to me, without question right now, is the key to game number 6, because Haliburton had a miserable game. He scores 8 points. He's 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. He scores half his points from the foul line. He is going to want to come out in game 6 and make his presence felt the same way Jalen Brunson did in this one. And so much of the series, when you have two players like this, is who gets the better of it, who's Mr. Clutch, who impacts his team. And for a lot of this series, unfortunately for the Knicks, it has been Haliburton. But coming off of this incredibly poor game from him, and watching the Pacers, you know, wave the white flag at the end of the game and kind of get ready for game number 6 and take Haliburton off the floor, he is going to look to get going immediately, and if they can defend him the way they defended him last night, and that is not going to be easy, that is how you win game number 6. That is how you win this series. That is how you get back for game 7, Madison Square Garden, and give yourself a chance to do something special. So we'll see how they handle game number 6. The other obviously key thing in this was the Pacers didn't play very well. The defense was stifling, no doubt. It's the first game of the series the Knicks win the turnover battle. That is so enormous. 20 turnovers from the Pacers, who, as fast as they play and as many bench and role players as they play, they don't turn the ball over. So for a Knick team to not only force, those are two of the key numbers for me. 7 shots from Haliburton and 20 turnovers. That is a recipe for success for this Knick team moving forward. And this is just step 1 of 3. It was a good win. It's a win we're going to you know, celebrate in the moment. We're going to look to try and take things from it that they can bring to Game 6. And clearly, Wright and Shamet are two things, and Shamet in particular, who played great in this game. You're going to try and take that defensive unit, Mitch Robinson, the two of them, one of OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges, and Karl Anthony Towns, and his ability to dominate and be the offensive focal point when that defensive unit is on the floor. That clearly has been a positive here, going back to the fourth quarter of Game 3 and clearly the second and fourth quarter of this game. Brunson and how he took over, the defense and how they played, winning the turnover battle, and shutting down completely Tyrese Haliburton. That is the recipe for a game number 6. 888-808-1019. So the Knicks take game number 5, set up game number 6 Saturday night. Let's get into it right now. Let's get to a call first before we get to the break, because this is one of those nights that we need. They needed this performance. This was a dominating performance. The Garden crowd was into it. They're chanting Landry Shamet's name, and this was a thorough ass-kicking of a team that has had the better of it the entire series, and the New York Knicks need to figure out and bottle up the defensive intensity and the effort they gave in this game and bring it with them on the plane to Indiana for game number 6. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Big Daddy Mac? C-Mac in the building. What up? How are you?
Good,
what's
going Moose? On, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good to have. Where was this defensive intensity with a backbone, top 5 level in the NBA, intensity, accountability, communication? Like, where was this the entire season, let alone this series? But, you know,
I don't know where it was, and if they lose game 6, it's going to be the question we're going to be asking after that game, and it's going to be the question we're going to be asking about this entire series.
You're talking about domination, wire-to-wire victory, no ties, no trailing.
Yep.
Held the team to under 100 points, and they were like a top-2 offense since January, apparently.
Yep.
So, kudos to the Knicks. Rinse, wash, repeat 2 more times during the NBA Finals. But getting to the whole, I really wanted to talk Soto because I've been listening to the radio and the sports talk, and it's just like, Soto ultimately made his decision probably based on the idea of him wanting to be the man on a team with the money and the whole bringing the whole organization, and he wants to etch his name and be the guy. Even though, like Keith said on the previous show, Judge is his big bro on the team last year. So that begs the question that I want to ask you. Do you think Soto didn't just do it for the money, but to etch his name and build a brand as the Met savior, greatest Met of all time, greatest player, and the money was either the motivation or the validation?
Yeah, Moose, we'll get to it. I promise we'll talk a little Juan Soto, we'll talk some baseball. Right now I'm focused on the Knicks. I appreciate the question. I know that we can't stop talking about Juan Soto. I get it. His motivations are less interesting to me at this point. I'll be totally honest with you, Moose. I think we're done with his motivations. Like, I don't care anymore. Now we can talk about his struggles. Now we can talk about how he's impacting the Mets. Now we can talk about, you know, when he's going to snap out of it and look at it from more of a Met perspective than a Yankee Met perspective. And his motivation no longer really matters to me. It's May. It's going to be June. Right? I mean, the decision's been made. We can go over it and ask a million different times. Yeah, do I think maybe that had something to do with it? Maybe. Maybe he wanted to be the man, and maybe he felt like, you know, being, you know, one of the 20 greatest Yankees of all time or whatever was unimportant. I mean, but I don't care. Like, right now, that's not the question right now. We'll talk about that later. Mike in Kings Park. What's up, Mike? Mike.
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's going on, bud?
Nothing. Just, echo the other call. Where has this defense been, especially at the Garden, the playoffs? Like, the intensity, I just feel like on the defensive end, has been missing until tonight. But, listen, they live to fight another day. Obviously, I do not expect Haliburton to have a, you know, terrible performance like he did on Game 6. But the Knicks, listen, The one thing that makes me nervous is still a lot of undisciplined basketball with unforced turnovers. You cannot do this in Indiana because they're going to get that ball up the floor and get out in transition and get that crowd going. They have to clean this stuff up. Also, I don't know if you noticed, baseline out of bounds. Like, Carlisle is killing Thibodeau on this. Like, every game there's an, like 2 to 4 points on a baseline out of bounds play from Indiana. It's like they don't know how to defend it. And we turn it over on baseline out of bounds play, it seems like, every night.
Yeah, and baseline out of bounds has not been one of Tibbs's his best attributes. I've been killing him on out of bounds plays and off of timeouts. Like that's one of the things I've been getting on Tibbs about this entire season. They're not very good on side out of bounds. They very rarely get what they want. They very rarely, it feels like, sometimes get what they want out of timeouts. But I thought they were less sloppy in this game. I mean, there's still some turnovers. They won the turnover battle for the first time all series. I thought, other than Josh Hart throwing it away a couple of times, some of the turnovers are, you know, rebound that they step out of bounds. You know, there's bound to be, when you're trying to play with the pace of the Indiana Pacers, like when you're trying to do that, yeah, you're going to try and push the basketball. You're going to try and, you know, score some points. You're going to try and get some shots. Like, the turnovers kind of do happen a little bit. Of course you want to clean it up. I thought they did clean it up a little bit. I know it's still 15 turnovers and that's a lot, but they did win the turnover battle, and I thought that it was less obvious to me. Now, that could be just because they had the lead and they weren't as devastating, the turnovers. But absolutely, of course. You got to limit the turnovers. But they did win the turnover battle for the first time all year. All series. And they were the team less sloppy, and they forced turnovers. They got to force more turnovers, too. Like, that's part of it, too. Yes, they got to clean it up. But the Pacers don't turn the ball over. The Knicks got some turnovers tonight. They have to force. Their defensive effort has to force some turnovers. They can't allow the Pacers to play at this pace and not turn the ball over. And had to let as many players on their team touch the ball and not turn the ball over. Like, they have to be a little bit better, and tonight they were. Mark in California, what's up, Mark?
What's going on? Yeah, I mean, the biggest issue with, you know, tonight's game is every game I watch, it's 5 games in already, and there's guys wide open every single play. Like, it's just, and that's 3 times in a series where Knicks are being boxed out by either Siakam or Turner, and it just leads to a wide open three. McConnell's missing them, which he normally doesn't. But it's utterly disgusting. And I thought against the Detroit series, I was like, there's no way they'd beat Boston playing like that because they left dudes wide open against Detroit. And then I was like, Boston is just like, there's just no way. And now I'm like, Indiana defense is so much better because they play trap defense. And it's still continuing to happen. So Cat and Brunson have to have games like this every single night for us to win. If they do not, it's going to be tough. But
I thought the wide open shots were better tonight. You didn't?
I mean, some of them are contested. I don't know, but that's part of it.
I mean, how many open shots did the Knicks have? How many open shots does Karl Anthony Towns have in this game? How many open shots did the Knicks take from three? Like, I think it's just it's part of the game of basketball when you're playing in transition. Like, I understand that. Too many open threes, too poor of closeouts. I didn't think that was an issue tonight necessarily. They let Haliburton take 7 shots. It's not like Haliburton was wide open left and right and he missed shots. He took 7 shots. Like, tonight isn't the night to complain about that, of course. Like, I get it, guys. The first 2 calls are got to clean up the turnovers and got to cover the three, of course. But tonight they were better at that. We need to, they got to figure out a way to keep doing what they did tonight, not change what they did tonight. Tonight they limited the turnovers. Tonight they got in the face of the three-point shooters. Sure, there's going to be some open threes. Watch any game, maybe except OKC, because OKC's done an incredible job defensively. But, like, there's a lot of open threes in the game of basketball. And some of the guys, like, you mentioned McConnell missing open threes. That's part of the game plan. He's not a great three-point shooter. I don't want to give him wide open threes, but sometimes you let him take a three on a possession because he hasn't been, although in this game he hits 3 of 5. I thought today's defense was much better. I thought the limited. I thought they did a great job limiting the open threes. But they gave up 94 points to this Pacers team. And it's not like they shot terribly from three. I mean, they shot 40%. They shot 40% from three. It's not like one of those nights where, you know, the Celtics, where they shot 20% from three. They shot 40% from three and still scored 94 points. The Knicks' defense was far better tonight. If they give this defensive effort, they're going to win the series. If they play defense like they did tonight in Game 6 and Game 7, the Knicks are moving on to the NBA Finals. They got to figure out a way to bring this effort to tomorrow, to Saturday. Now it is tomorrow. 888-808-1019. All right, quick break. We'll get back to your calls. Neil was at the game. If you were at the game, give me a call. If you're on your way home from the game, give me a call. If you're hanging out at the watch party, 7th Avenue, give me a call. Because tonight, it's not necessarily a parade. It's not necessarily a celebration. But this was a resounding victory and hopefully a blueprint on how to go into Indiana and take Game 6 and force a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden where anything can
happen. Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happen.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 12:35. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. The Knicks take down the Pacers 111-94, get the series to 3-2, and they avoid the disaster. Right? They avoid that loss that would have just crushed us as Knicks fans. A loss that would have really made us question so much of this team. I know a large portion of the fan base would have questioned the coach, if they still are. I got two of the first three callers I took kind of questioned the coach. Still. And I understand, but if they would have lost this game, it would have been hard to take. Not being able to come out with an intensity that they came out with and losing this game in Madison Square Garden would have been an absolute heartbreaker and really made you wonder about this team and about their toughness, about the coach, about the stars of this team. And look, they still have to go win this series. Otherwise, it's disappointment. There's no getting around that. We're going to be disappointed. They have to win this series after they beat the Boston Celtics. This is too great an opportunity to not cash in on. But at the very least, they avoided what would have been an embarrassing loss and losing all three games in Madison Square Garden, but they didn't. They got off the deck. Jalen Brunson opened the game playing his ass off, had a great first quarter. Karl Anthony Towns had a great game, a plus 26, 24 points. He can get to the rim at will, it feels like. I wish he would do it more. And the Knicks hold the Pacers to 94 points and hold Halliburton to 7 shots. And now we head back to Indiana for a Game 7 Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Game 6, Game 6 Saturday, 8 o'clock. And hopefully they take a lot of what they did into this game, into that game, and force a Game 7 back here, Madison Square Garden, Monday night for game number 7. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Neil in East Brunswick, who was at the game last night. What's up, Neil?
What's going on, C-Mac? Thank you for taking my call, man.
You got it. What's up, brother?
I got a couple points here, but the Garden was electric tonight. It was such a great atmosphere. Shout out to Section 212. So the biggest thing I thought about tonight was, one, they came out confident. They played their game. They played physical. The biggest difference for me was I don't feel like they've been getting any calls all series, to be honest with you, but they didn't let that affect their play. They stayed physical. They stayed confident. In Bridges with his patented fadeaway jumpers, I mean, he didn't shy away from it. They were taking their shots. They played their game. They didn't let the refs affect it, and they just came out, and they just focused on what they were doing right. I thought it was awesome. Like you were saying, the defense showed up today. They didn't shy away from them. They played physical, and that's what they need to do to take this into Indiana for Game 6 and bring this back home for Game 7.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. The crowd was electric. It was awesome. And that moment of Shamet, one, like, and the Knicks fans are great. To recognize the effort that those two put in the second quarter, and they come out of the game after changing a 4-point lead into a 10-point lead, or a 14-point lead, rather, to be a plus 10 in that brief little stint in the second quarter, and to get the standing ovation as Shamet and Wright get, you know, subbed out in that moment was awesome. And then later in the game, as, you know, Shamet has that real big defensive play on McConnell underneath the basket. And the Knicks, and I thought the broadcast did a really good job talking about how defensively sound they were. And I'm watching the postgame, too, on some of the, like, you watch Halliburton go to the basket. When Mitchell Robinson's on the court, it's almost like don't collapse. Don't allow the penetration and dish for the three. Stay there and let Halliburton attempt to go at the rim over Robinson, or even maybe over Cat. Like, let them try and do that as opposed to collapsing and giving up open threes. And on that play with Shamet, you know, McConnell drives to the basket and no one leaves their man. They let Shamet, who's a good defensive player, handle McConnell. He gets him under the basket. The ball ends up going off McConnell's leg, and the crowd reacted, and he was reacting with the crowd. And on the next offensive possession, you get a Landry Shamet, you know, standing ovation and chanting his name. Like, that was an awesome moment. It's an awesome moment for him. It's an awesome moment for the team. And you're seeing guys really impact the game that we didn't expect to have this kind of impact. And they make them better defensively. That unit on the floor, it's, you know, Karl Anthony Towns better score because they don't have any other scoring. You know, I know Shamet hit a couple threes in this game, but with that unit, when they go defense and Cat, it really works as long as Cat scores. As long as Karl takes it to the basket, as long as he can get his shot off, which it feels like he could do at will, that's a dangerous lineup in spurts. I don't know how long you can play it, but in spurts, that can really be a very good unit that really smothers them defensively and creates bad shots for Indiana and then allows the offense to kind of just run through Cat, which can work, which he's proving can work, even with the banged-up knee. So the Garden was electric, and now they got to find different ways here in matchups because, you know, let's be totally honest, I think it's a little bit overblown how much better Carlisle is than Tibbs. I can't tell you he's not a better coach. He is a better coach. He's won a championship. He's one of the, despite looking exactly like Jim Carrey, he is one of the better coaches in the NBA. He's won a championship, and he's a better coach than Tibbs. I think at this point that's fair. I think it's been overblown how much of an advantage he's given them. I think the players have just played better than the Knicks players, but he's going to go back to the lab. Halliburton's going to be pissed off. Siakam, whenever he needs to play, he had a bad game in this game, 15 points, a minus one in the game, 5 of 13 from the floor. he's getting into it with the media after the game. Like, he's going to come out determined. Obviously, Halliburton's going to come out determined. And, you know, the coach is going to go to the lab and try and figure out a way to attack that lineup and some of the different things we saw in this game. So the Knicks have to be ready. Tibbs has got to come up with a plan. And they've got to go into Indiana on Saturday night. And they're going to get the Pacers' best. As the Knicks played great tonight, the Pacers did not play their game. They're going to have to go get the best of the Indiana Pacers in Game 6. They can do it if they bring this effort, but that's what they got to do. Taji in Astoria. What's up, Taji?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, I'm really happy that we had a dominant performance today. But again, I'm one of those guys that will complain about the coach because if I'm just a regular park guy that can figure out some more strategy and he can't, then it's... time we get somebody else like Spoelstra.
Yeah, no, if they lose this game, you're ready to fire the coach?
I mean, I appreciate Tibbs being the guy who got us from no playoff to playoff. I feel like he's that hard-nosed guy who can get guys to play hard and get us to the playoff. Mm-hmm. But at this point, like, there is a championship caliber coach, and you know, the games
are so
close.
What makes you think Tibbs isn't that? Did what he do in Chicago? What happened when he left Chicago? Did they go win a championship?
I mean, I'm saying the first game, mathematically, it was impossible to score 20 points in the last 2 minutes, which the Pacers did, and I think the coach could have really played a good hand in not making sure that didn't happen. I mean,
yeah, I mean, listen, of course coaches make mistakes. I'm not saying he's perfect or that he's infallible or that he didn't do... You know, he did everything right. It just is all broken against him. Sure, he's made mistakes. Absolutely. He's done things I disagree with. But, like, the idea that we know that Tibbs can't get them to a championship because he hasn't yet. Like, I don't know why we think that. Because, like, we go back to the history of him as a coach. We make, oh, he's really good at taking a team to this point and turning around a franchise, but then he can't get them over the hump. Okay, but it's not like other guys came in and did it. You could say that about Mark Jackson because he kind of got to a point with the Golden State Warriors, and then Kerr came in and they won championships. You can point to it with a bunch of different coaches, or what happened in Chicago before Phil Jackson got there. You could, or what happened with the Lakers before Phil Jackson got there. Like, okay, there are teams that peak and then another coach comes in and takes over, but like at the same time. That Bulls team didn't go on to win championships. It's not like he left and they got better. They got worse. The team fell apart. Minnesota became worse after he left. Maybe he was just getting the best out of a team that wasn't good enough to win. It's not like they were a championship team and he was holding them back. Because if that were the case, when he left, they would have accomplished more. Those teams never accomplished more after he left. That would be an indictment. So while I'm frustrated with him, and we could talk about a lot of the different stuff, I just hate the narrative of he's not the kind of coach that takes you over the top. Because why? Are we sure he's ever had a team good enough to get there and he was holding them back? Or maybe he was propping up a team that wasn't good enough to be where they were and they were only there because of him. I just think the narrative is a little unfair. I'm not saying he's infallible. I'm not saying if they keep getting to this spot and losing that they shouldn't try something else. Maybe they should. Maybe if they lose this series and then they get back here next year and lose the series again, maybe they should try something else. But I just hate the idea of, I know Tibbs is the kind of guy who builds a system, but he can't get you over the top. Why? Was that Chicago team unbeatable? And he blew it? I understand, you know, he ended up hurting his star. The star player gets hurt because he played a lot, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily all on Tibbs. Duncan in Newark. What's up, Duncan?
What's going on, Big Mac? How you doing this evening?
What's up,
man?
Brother? Good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm not going to dominate you tonight. I thought we was going to have a love fest, and I really wasn't feeling it, but... I'm going to go in another direction.
Okay.
We're watching Tibbs evolve and learn how to coach in real time. Like Tibbs is doing a great job. I've always been a Tibbs guy, right? But the way he brings in the bench and he's playing them like that, that can't overstate that. And he's already doing that. But let me tell you why the Knicks had the advantage going into game six.
Okay.
Number one, the Indiana coach, he doesn't make any adjustments defensively. He only makes offensive adjustments. Indiana is not really a great defensive team. They just try to bump and grind on Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Cat, he's dominated the last couple of games. They've done nothing. They try to weak side double team, but it hasn't worked because Carlisle doesn't know what to do. He's not a defensive coach. He's actually a mirror opposite of Tibbs. So that's why the Knicks have the advantage going into to game six.
Yeah, but what about his offensive adjustments? And if they score 130, how are the Knicks going to keep up?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. They have to hit their open shots. Now, they've done that for most of the playoffs and most of the season. But the Knicks have adjusted. The Knicks are getting better defensively with every game. They're able to, and we're using the bench. You know what I'm saying? The bench comes in and they're better defensively. And they're a finesse team. The Pacers are totally a finesse team. They're not a bump and grinded team. They only play well when they're ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like if they're not,
I disagree with everything you just said. Like I what do you mean? They only play well when they're ahead. They have had three of the more historical comebacks from behind in this postseason alone. Like they were down 14 points with 2.5 minutes and came back and won the game. They were down big against Cleveland and come back and won the game. This team has historically played well coming from behind. And I said against the Bucks, they came from behind against Milwaukee. They came from behind in Game Four against Game Two against Cleveland. Like the idea that this team only plays well when they're ahead is crazy. They've played great when they're behind. And I think defensively, you just said they're bumping. All they do defensively is bump and grind. And then you said, well, they're not the kind of team that bumps and grinds. Like that's what they are defensively. I think they are a physical team, and I think they've done a pretty good job on Brunson throughout the series. I know he scored 30 points at times, but he was kind of non-existent in the second half of game number four. I agree with you. They don't have anything to stop Karl Anthony Towns. If he's playing his game, they don't have anything to stop him. And I also disagree with you saying that the Knicks are getting better every game defensively. They were terrible in game four defensively. That could have been the worst game they played defensively. They were better in game one defensively than they were in game four defensively. Halliburton did whatever he wanted in game four. So they have not shown a trajectory of getting better and better and better and better every game defensively. They have not. They were terrible in game four. They came up and played a much better game in game five, but it's not like it's been a steady climb. It has not been. There's no reason to think, hey, game six, they'll only be better defensively because they just keep getting better and better and better. They have not. I'm not saying they can't play defensively. They can't play a good game defensively in game six. I hope they can. They're going to need to win. But it's not like they're on some trajectory where the pattern would dictate that they're going to even be better next game. That's not the case. They need to come. And as far as Carlisle and defensive adjustments, I agree with you that the Pacers have made better adjustments in this series offensively. But they're going to have to adjust to what the Knicks just did defensively. They're going to have to adjust on what they want to do when Wright and Shamet are on the floor and maybe not go to the bench in that moment. I wouldn't be surprised if they really, with those guys, try to attack defensively, offensively, excuse me, like, and keep Halliburton on the floor and say, look, let's try and attack this thing. And if not, maybe they play super defensively and try and double team Karl Anthony Towns in those moments and make sure he doesn't beat them and see if Shamet and Wright can hit open shots. I don't know, but there's going to be an adjustment to that unit. There's going to be an adjustment to what the Knicks provided. But honestly, as much as we talk about Tibbs and Carlisle, I got to be honest with you. I haven't really felt, and maybe I'm just being too, you know, generic or too obvious or like, but when you watch the games, it's the team with the better effort. Plain and simple. Like the Knicks came out with a better effort today from the jump. You could feel it. That's why they won the game. I don't know if it really comes down to X's and O's. There are mismatches. There are things a coach can do. There are guys on the floor against them. Like there's definitely, and again, I'm saying it, playing Shamet and Wright the way they did in this game definitely had an impact on the game. But to me, is Mitch Robinson, when he's in there, going to be a beast on the offensive boards? Is Karl Anthony Towns going to do what he does and get to the rim and dominate the game? Is Jalen Brunson going to hit shots? Are they going to come out with a defensive intensity? Or are they not? Like, I don't know if it's necessarily the coaching adjustments. I think they're being overblown in this. You watch the games, it is so much about intensity. And Siakam is getting into an argument. Maybe we'll play the audio. He gets into an argument with a media member about who played harder in the game. I honestly think a lot of this is who plays harder. That's it. Both teams can score. Both teams are evenly matched. Both teams have a superstar. Both teams have a second guy who can score the points, Karl Anthony Towns and Siakam. Like, they are very good. They're similar in some ways, different in others, but they are very evenly matched. It really comes down to who wants it more. That's what it's felt like. It's what it's felt like. The end of game one, the Pacers wanted it more. The end of game three, the Knicks wanted it more. Game four, the Knicks, the Pacers clearly wanted it more. And tonight, the Knicks clearly wanted it more. Who's going to want it more in game six? That's what it feels like it's going to come down to, and not necessarily the coaching adjustments. And maybe that is too generic. Maybe that is too painting it with a broad brush. But damn it if it doesn't feel that way. Joe in Holbrook. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? The big thing today was defense.
No doubt.
Defense, defense, defense is the reason why the Knicks won. And playing Shamet, playing Wright, McBride, they were doing the cuts, getting back and forth, covering. Then they hit some shots. That's why they won the game, defense. They got to keep it going. And they took the momentum away from the Pacers. They're going to win in Indiana. They're going to force the game seven, and they're going to win game seven because of defense.
Well, let's hope. Listen, defense is effort, and they haven't put that back-to-back. They're going to have to do it in game six. Like, look, and let's not get too cocky. Let's not get too excited. This is a huge win. The bare minimum of what the fans deserved was this win. Now they have to go in game six in Indiana. Indiana still has control of the series. They're up 3-2. Indiana just dominated the Knicks in game four in that building. It is tough to contain this team offensively back-to-back games. But, yeah, the Knicks play better defensively, and I hope that they realize if they can do that, they're good enough to win this game. And if they can win game six, now you're talking, that's it. Go win one more game. It's one game at a time. Now pressure is back on the Pacers. They head back home, and they better freaking win it. Right? They better win it because nobody wants to go play a game seven when you were up 3-1. Now the pressure changes. Doesn't mean they can't handle it. Doesn't mean they won't come out and give a great effort. I expect them to. The Knicks are going to have to match it. But now a little bit of that pressure is on Indiana. They do not want to lose this game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.